All right, so let's jump into this case. Cinerama v. Technicolor. It's a 1995 case. And
still very relevant.
Yeah, still making waves today. And I think for our listeners, you know, who are deep in the M&A world,
absolutely,
understanding the precedents is key. Right?
Absolutely.
And this one is interesting because it really boils down to this. Can a really good price make up for a messy process? Kind of like if you found a fantastic deal on a car, even if the salesperson was a little, I don't know.
Shady,
yeah. It makes you wonder, right?
It definitely does. It raises really fascinating questions about that balance between fair dealing and fair price, which are at the heart of this case. Let's set the stage a little bit. Cinerama owned a big chunk of Technicolor stock, and McAndrews and Forbes, or MAF as we'll call them, wanted to buy the whole company. So they offered $23 per share.
Per share
in a two-step deal. It was a tender offer followed by a merger to scoop up any remaining shares.
Okay.
But Cinerama, they weren't happy. They thought something was fishy. They believed their shares were worth more, and they decided to sue.
So they smelled a rat.
Mm-hmm.
What was their strategy? I mean, did they just yell unfair and hope for the best?
Not quite. They actually had a very clever two-pronged approach. First, they filed what's called an appraisal action, which is essentially asking the court to determine what the actual fair value of the stock is. And then secondly, they hit Technicolor's directors with a fiduciary duty claim, arguing that they weren't acting in the best interests of the shareholders.
A classic 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that got the director's attention. Now, I keep hearing about this thing called the business judgment rule. Is that the magic legal wand that could make or break this case?
The business judgment rule, or BJR, as it's often called, is crucial here. It's this shield that protects directors, right? Courts generally assume that they're acting in good faith with the best interests of the company in mind, unless there's some clear evidence of negligence or they're trying to benefit themselves, you know, self-dealing.
Gotcha.
It's a legal presumption that they're doing the right thing, unless someone proves otherwise.
So initially, the Technicolor directors were safe behind this BJR shield.
Yeah, at first. The Chancery Court actually sided with them, said the BJR applied. However, Cinerama, they weren't giving up. They appealed, and the Delaware Supreme Court said, hold on a second. They saw some potential duty of care issues, and so they shifted the burden of proof onto the directors. And now the directors had to demonstrate that this deal was entirely fair.
Entirely fair, huh? That sounds like a pretty high bar to clear. Is there some, like, secret formula that the courts use to determine that?
If only it were that simple. Entire fairness isn't some simple checklist. It's more of a balancing act. We've got what's called fair dealing, which focuses on the process. Was it transparent? Were there any conflicts of interest? Did everyone have all the info they needed? And then there's fair price. Was the price itself reasonable, regardless of how they arrived at it?
So it's about the journey and the destination.
Exactly.
Interesting. So how did the courts analyze, you know, all those different aspects? Was the process clean? And was the price right? How did they get there?
Well, they looked at six specific factors to figure out, you know, if it was fair. And this is where things get really interesting. The first factor they looked at was process flaws. The Chancery Court found that there was no market check. So they didn't really shop around for other buyers, which is, you know, usually a red flag in deals like this.
That seems a little, I don't know, careless.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd want to look at all your options.
Right.
Make sure you're getting the best deal for the shareholders.
You would think so.
What was their justification for skipping that step?
Well, the answer might lie in the second factor that they looked at, price validation. That $23 per share offer, that represented a 48% premium over Technicolor's market value at the time, and a whopping 72% over its book value.
Whoa, those are some big numbers.
Huge. On paper, this was a very attractive offer.
Yeah, I can see how a premium like that might make the court a little more forgiving about the lack of a market check.
Right.
But did they at least, you know, did their homework? Did they do their due diligence to make sure that price was actually fair?
They did rely on a fairness opinion from Goldman Sachs, which is a big name. So that lent credibility to their decision making.
Oh.
And also, when you look at the buyer dynamics, MAF was really the only serious bidder after, you know, they had been looking for a while. So that suggested that this price might have actually been the best they could get.
So even though they didn't shop around, it sounds like circumstances and that that really high price played a big role.
Yeah.
Okay. But what about the like the other players involved? Was everyone on board with this deal?
Well, the management team at Technicolor, they seem pretty happy with the deal. In fact, the CEO, a guy named Kammerman, he actually negotiated pretty aggressively to get the best possible price.
So it sounds like he was looking out for the shareholders.
Yeah, it seemed that way. And then when you look at the board itself, most of the directors didn't have any personal stake in the outcome. So their approval of the deal, it seemed more trustworthy, right? It wasn't like they were trying to line their own pockets or anything. So you've got this mix, right? Some questionable process choices, but a price that's pretty hard to argue with.
Yeah. Yeah. A tough one. Did the court let the directors off the hook?
You know what? They did. They said, despite the lack of a market check, despite some of these other procedural concerns, that price was so good, it basically outweighed all of those flaws. Now, this isn't to say that sloppy deals are always okay, right?
Of course not.
It's a fascinating example of how Delaware courts, they really prioritize those real economic benefits for the shareholders.
Yeah, so they came out on top, even if the path to get there was a little bit bumpy.
Exactly.
So what does all this mean for our listeners out there who are dealing with M&A, trying to figure out, you know, how to evaluate a deal? What are the takeaways here?
Well, I think Cinerama really underscores the importance of documentation.
Yeah.
If you can show that there's a strong premium, right, and you've got the data to back it up, that can really help justify a deal, even if there are some procedural hiccups along the way.
So build a good case.
Yeah, a strong case, the price being the cornerstone.
The cornerstone, yeah.
And this leads to the second takeaway. Expert opinions.
Yep.
Remember Goldman Sachs. Having a reputable advisor, it can really add weight to your decisions, especially when they're under scrutiny.
Right, that external validation, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And let's not forget, this case also had a two-step tender offer structure,
right,
which is important because that structure, that two-step process, gave shareholders a choice. They could decide, hey, do I want to tender my shares at this price or do I not?
Right.
So that element of choice, it really strengthens that argument for fairness.
It's almost a safety net for shareholders.
Yeah. Gives them a little more power.
So Cinerama v. Technicolor really seems like a case that lawyers, both transactional and litigators, need to know.
Absolutely. For transactional lawyers, it reinforces that, yes, a fantastic price might help smooth over some procedural bumps, but it's not a free pass to be sloppy.
Right.
You still need to be diligent, transparent, and document everything. For litigators, the takeaway is focus on both the process and the price. Remember, in Cinerama, those plaintiffs, they lost because they couldn't prove that a better price was actually achievable.
Right. You can't just point fingers. You have to show a better way.
Exactly. You need a viable alternative.
Yeah.
And this means getting valuation experts involved early to really assess that price and explore other scenarios.
Mm.
Now, while this case is important, it's vital to see it within the larger context of Delaware law.
Okay, now you've got me hooked. Tell me more.
Well, Cinerama, it's actually part of a trilogy of, like, key Delaware decisions.
That old trilogy.
Along with Smith v. Van Golkum and QVC v. Paramount.
Okay.
Together, these cases, they lay the groundwork for how we evaluate this whole entire fairness idea, emphasizing this balance between economic outcomes and, you know, how clean the process is.
So it's not just about following a rigid set of rules. It's about the nuances, the impact on the shareholders, the overall fairness.
Absolutely. And in Delaware, that's crucial. Fairness. It's this big, holistic concept. Sometimes the substance can actually outweigh the form.
That's interesting.
Yeah. A key takeaway for anyone working in this area. Now, I'm curious, what stands out to you from all this? What are you thinking?
You know, what strikes me is this isn't just some dry legal case. It's a story. It's about this world of M&A, high stakes, strategy, negotiations. And at the heart of it, it's this fundamental question. How do we make sure things are fair in a system where there's so much money, power, corporate interests swirling around?
That's a brilliant point. And it's a question that we're still grappling with today. It shapes how corporate law evolves.
It's fascinating.
What's so compelling about Cinerama is that it gives us a glimpse into that struggle, right? Even with procedural hiccups, a really good price can tip the scales towards fairness.
Like they say, the ends justify the means. But of course, it's never that simple in the law, is it?
Never that simple. You always need to consider the nuances, the context. You need that balance,
right,
between process and substance. It's all connected.
And that's what makes these deep dives so fun, right? We're not just looking at legal jargon. We're uncovering the stories, the human element, the things that get lost in all the technicalities.
It's about connecting the dots, seeing the bigger picture. And sometimes that picture can be a little messy, but it's always insightful.
Well said. And that's what we're here for, to give you the knowledge, the insights, to help you navigate the world of M&A.
Yeah.
To understand not just the rules, but the why behind them.
Right, because in the end, it's not about winning or losing a case. It's about making smart decisions that are in everyone's best interests.
Couldn't agree more. Now, remember that car analogy we talked about at the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Let's bring that back for a second. Imagine you found, like, the perfect car. Right. It's reliable, it's got all the features you want, and the price is amazing.
That's our fair price from Cinerama.
Exactly. But then you find out, maybe the salesperson wasn't totally honest. Maybe they pressured you a little.
Okay, so that's where the fair dealing gets a little murky.
Right, just like that market check in Cinerama. So would you walk away from this amazing deal just because the process wasn't perfect? Or would you be okay with it because you got such a great price?
That's the big question, isn't it? And it's something we face in real life, too, not just in law. When is it okay to benefit from a good deal, even if the process was a little iffy?
Cinerama v. Technicolor shows us, especially in M&A, things aren't always so clear-cut.
Yeah.
Sometimes a really good price can outweigh those procedural problems, you know, when it comes to fairness.
It's a reminder that there are a lot of gray areas in life and law.
Definitely. And that's where the interesting stuff happens.
That's what we try to do on this show, right? Give you the knowledge and tools to think critically about these complex topics.
We don't have all the answers, but we want you to ask the right questions and make smart choices.
Whether you're in court or just in a meeting.
Exactly. So for our listeners who are dealing with these issues, remember Cinerama v. Technicolor. Think about both process and substance and make decisions that feel right for you. If you're looking at a deal for a company or even just, like we said, buying a car, think about this case. Sometimes a great price makes up for a messy process. But always be careful, do your homework, and if something doesn't feel right, don't be afraid to walk away, even if it's a tempting offer.
That's great advice. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Cinerama v. Technicolor. Hopefully you got a better handle on this landmark case.
And how it still affects M&A today. Knowledge is power, right? You've got these insights now so you can better understand the legal and business world.
If you're interested in learning more, definitely check out those other cases we mentioned, Smith v. Van Gorkum and QVC v. Paramount. Lots of legal wisdom and strategy lessons in those.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. Until next time, keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep pushing yourselves to understand more.
And remember, sometimes a good deal is a good deal, even with a little bit of drama along the way. See you on our next Deep Dive.